This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in New York. Bart's off today, and I need you. I need you. 800-919-3777. This is a Jets fan support station. This is a Jets fan support group. My name is Han Solo, and I'm a Jets fan. And I knew this day was coming. And I tell myself all the time that I'm not going to let it affect me. Then it does. That I watch a game. I hate watch a post-game show. Like, I imagine a lot of Knicks fans might hate watching me sometimes. You don't hate me, per se. You just hate watching me after a Knicks loss. Or after a Knicks win when they should lose. And then Steph Curry disappears. This time it's Trevor Lawrence. And it's amazing how a day after we all got together. And you can check the Twitter. I tweeted to everybody. It was a great tweet. Lovely tweet. Bigly tweet. So many responses of everybody. We're all together, group watching Trevor Lawrence winning the ACC. Just showing one more time the cannon of an arm, the legs, just the dynamic ability. And then, of course, after the game, saying all the right things, interview. I mean, just the whole thing, the complete package. Everything you need to say your franchise is now heading in the right direction. And then less than 24 hours later, not even, just about exactly 24 hours later, the Jets do what always seems to happen. And that is, they lose by winning. It's the most amazing thing if you think about where we are as sports fans. I bring this up all the damn time. You don't want to see your team win. I have said this about the NBA. I'm going to say it about the NFL. I'm going to say it about all sports leagues. Your draft sucks. It's a bad idea. It's old and antiquated and should be completely abolished and rethought. Because all you're doing is encouraging teams, fan bases to want to lose. That should not be how you do it. And then what happens? You have a miserable fan base who's now mad at their franchise. I got a text from a really good friend of mine. And he's a diehard Jets fan. Diehard Jets fan. And he had lost it. And he said, I've had season tickets my entire life. And now they're in my name. So my family has had season tickets for 37 years. He said, I'm not renewing next year because of this win. I'm done. This franchise is forever cursed. You remember the curse of the Bambino? Maybe this is the curse of the Marino. Maybe that's what this is. The football gods put him there for you. He laid it out. Here, there's your quarterback. Take him. And you didn't. And then they say, oh, you don't need our help? Then you won't get our help. And how's it gone ever since? How's it gone ever since? The next time a big-time quarterback was available to you, he's like, I don't want to play for that team. That'd be Peyton Manning. You understand this, right? Like, that's what happens to this franchise. It happens all the time. And it's the most maddening thing. And we always wonder, why do I keep going back? Why do I keep going back? This ain't about the players. I don't want to hear from athletes who tell me we're here to win and we're not going to try to lose. Of course you're not. I'm not that stupid. None of us are stupid like that. So don't talk to fans like they're stupid. Fans get it. You're there to compete. You're not trying to lose, especially not Sam Darnold, because why the hell would he try to lose just so you could get his replacement? I completely understand that. So don't talk down to me and tell me, well, that's how athletes are. The hell with that. I understand that part of it. But that's not what this is about. This is about how close you come sometimes to something good happening for your franchise and how maddening it is when Lucy pulls the football away, because she always pulls the football away every time. But Charlie Brown keeps coming back just like the rest of us do. Maybe this is the time. She pulls it away every time. That's a Jets fan's life in a nutshell. Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown. And where do we end up? Flat on her back. With a concussion. And she's mocking you. For some reason, and she explains it in some way of why she had to take that football away. That is what bothers me about yesterday. It ain't about, I'm not happy to see my team win. Of course I want to see my team win. But the bigger win was in April, not now. I wanted to see my team win week one. I wanted to see my team win week two. Once I realized you hired the wrong coach, once I realized there's not enough talent here, once I realized I don't know how to feel about Sam because when I need him to be available, he's not always available. When he does play, he looks like he hasn't been developed. He hasn't gotten better. He looks confused at times. He looks like he has no feel for pressure in the pocket. He looks like he runs sometimes, but not all the time. And he also looks like every now and then he's going to throw that YOLO pass. And we all go, why the hell would you throw that? So he hasn't gotten better in 3 years. So once I realized all of that, it couldn't be about winning anymore because there was too big of a prize to be won at the end of this season. And the thing about it is you might carry that 0-16 and it's embarrassing. But there was a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. There was a light at the end of that tunnel. And this time it wasn't an oncoming train. This time it was something to feel good about. This time it was winning for losing. Which if there's ever a franchise that should ever be good at losing, it'd be this one. And now I've got to hear from former athletes and current players about how I just don't get it. I don't? Oh, I get it. I don't need to be told why the Jets won yesterday. I know why. Because there are guys who want to compete. There are guys that don't want the 0-16. But what you don't understand is the plight of a franchise, of a fan base that is paying PSLs, that is paying a high price for a building that ain't even theirs. And you can't even go in it this year to let them know how you feel. A team that left its home base in New York to move far, far away from New York City. All of that is frustrating. And all you want is one little crumb to make you feel like there'll be better days. And now it can't be about the quarterback anymore. And Sam better be the next one. He better turn into something. And you know what else? You better hire the right coach. You better get this right. Because you just put so much pressure on that job now. And you know what else you might have done? You might have turned some people off that would have been great hires. That went, if they would have gotten that guy, if they would have gotten Trevor, I'd be interested in that job. But they're not getting him, so I'm not too sure. Don't know if I'm really interested. You might have just had a couple of guys that might have been a little excited about this opportunity that now turn around and say, no, I don't think I want to get that job now. And let me point something else out, too, before I get to the calls. 800-919-3776. And again, Bart's off this week. Holiday week. This is his vacation. These are my last 3 days as well, so we'll go solo with you. We got Rex Ryan coming up at noon, so I can't wait to have him yell at me about this. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. I think he gets it. But here's the other thing. If you're the NFL, now I know, the Jacksonville's got the Bears and the Colts. And the Colts might not need Week 17, but then again, if you've watched them play, they sure as hell need it. Because they are winning, but they ain't that good. Like, they've become a team now where I don't know if I trust the Colts. So whether or not Week 17 turns into a game where the Jaguars actually could win, I'm sorry. If you're Jacksonville and you have one game left in your season, you're sure as hell making sure your team loses. I'm sorry. You could say what you want about how a franchise should never try to lose. That's the NFL's fault. That's on the NFL. That's on all these leagues with this antiquated, stupid draft. And I've told you about this before. I've railed on about drafts before. It's just dumb. You're rewarding losing. That's what you're doing. Rewarding it. And you're making fans root for losing. This has got to stop. There has to be a better way. But if I'm the NFL, why the hell do I want to see Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville? Are you kidding me? Jacksonville. Half their games get blacked out down there. Can't see it. Because they don't get enough damn people in the building. Like, this is what you want. You want a guy like that. Generational superstar quarterback. And you're going to put him in Jacksonville. Now, you could say the Jets are such a bad franchise. Why would the NFL want him there? Because it's New York, stupid. That's why. You want them in New York. You want them in the big market because you know we'll all go nuts. All the media will cover them. Tons of coverage. You know, those people that say you don't need the big market anymore, the Broadway Joe effect doesn't exist anymore, that's a bunch of crap. Exponentially better for the NFL. Exponentially better for this league to have him in New York versus Jacksonville. But it's not going to happen now. Not unless some miracle happens where Jacksonville somehow wins a game here before the end of the season. And we all know that ain't going to happen. So you're out. We're out. The league doesn't have it. And this is what they'll get. So that's where we are. You just knew deep down this was going to happen. And it's maddening. And this, you know what? I think the best way to describe it is you feel like I'm big on control the controllables, right? That's a cliche, it's a phrase, athletes use it all the time. But deep down, I feel like in life, that's all you can do. Control the controllables. And the one thing about being a fan versus being an athlete, is an athlete you can control a lot. You can control your work ethic, you can control your performance, all that stuff. But when you're a fan of a team, it's a helpless feeling. You have no control. You are just relying on the preparation, the effort, the talent, the wisdom, the skill of others. It's the most helpless feeling in the world, especially when you root for a franchise where all the things I just listed are absent. And all you're trying to do is hope something works out. This was the hope that you hoped. This was the belief that something could work out. Instead, it didn't. And it's amazing that after a win like that, where some young guys like Mekhi Becton performed so well, Ty Johnson, I mean, name some names. You know, Marcus May, a fantastic play at the end. I can't even enjoy it. Quinnen Williams becoming a dominant force. Can't enjoy it. Can't enjoy it. Can't feel good. And then I got to hear Mekhi Becton after the game. And you understand, young guy, very competitive. Probably feels like, don't worry about it, because on my shoulders, I'll carry whoever the quarterback is behind me. Whatever running game we've got, as I learn this league, I'll become a dominant force, and you won't need a superstar quarterback. After the game, Mekhi Becton had this message for fans. Take a listen to this.
Now, he ain't really a fan if he wants to win, honestly. I mean that in the nicest way possible. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but I mean, if you wanted us to lose, you're not a real fan, honestly. You don't work too hard to just go out there and just take a loss every week.
Okay, I'm now going to also say this with the most respect I possibly can to Mekhi. Talk to me in a couple of years when you're still losing, when you're not winning enough for it to matter, and maybe you want out of here. Maybe you're like, you know what, I want to move. I'm a free agent. I'm going to leave to go to a winning team. Then you can look back on this day and understand where we were and why we were here. Again, you got to understand history or be doomed to repeat it. That's where we are right now. Oh, and one more thing about the NFL. So Trevor Lawrence can't control where he goes, right? Or can he? The rumor was that maybe his agents or his representation or even him would say, I don't want to go to the Jets. They're a mess. So I'm gonna say I'm not either going to go back to school or I'll try to force a trade. Who's to say he doesn't do that with Jacksonville? And say, you know what? I'd rather be in New York. I'm going to pull an Eli and make you trade me. You can always have hope. 800-919-3776 is the number. All right, like I said, this is a Jet fan support group. This eventually will be a Mandalorian season finale chat group. We've got a lot to get to, including the Giants, who they lose a game. You kind of felt it. Early on, it looked like it could be competitive. The Giants just feel like that team that's just not there yet. And obviously with no Daniel Jones, no healthy Daniel Jones, they're just not there yet. They're just not there yet. But they're at least on their way. And now you got to see, is it healthy Daniel Jones that makes the difference, that much of a difference? Or do they have that much talent deficiency around them? But I still felt like they were competitive. There were a couple of decisions made early that kind of set them back. And then they really just did not have it. Colt McCoy couldn't make the throws. And a couple of receivers couldn't make the catches, especially Evan Ingram. Some tough catches, of course. But that's where you need your talent. No question about it. But so a lot to get to. Rex Ryan at noon. Audio files, everything else as well. No bar today. Just me, little Han Solo for you. So let's get to the calls. Let's discuss this. You guys talk me off the ledge for once. Let's begin with Ronnie in Brooklyn. Come on, Ronnie.
Hey, how you doing, Han? I waited 2 hours to get my point across here. I just got a quick question. If you put a 25-year-old Joe Montana or a 25-year-old Brady on this team, would they have had a different season, a different outcome? I don't understand why everyone believes that Lawrence is, I mean, I know he's supposed to be a unicorn, which honestly, it takes time and consistency to be called that. You could be, thought of being a unicorn, but it's not until you prove it, are you a unicorn? You know, there's only a handful of players on this team that if it dissolved would go to other teams. Our starters wouldn't be backups on other teams. We need to rebuild from the ground up. And honestly, not getting the first pick is a good thing if you look at it, because now Douglas isn't pigeonholed into getting the quarterback. Maybe he'll get an offensive tackle, a center in the late first round, and start building a team. Because the only shining star for Lawrence would have been Beckham, that you got the protection of the biggest man in the NFL
Mims
on your left
too.
Pick.
Mims pretty good, too, for a young player. They got some pretty good receivers, Ronnie. But you know what? Look, what you're saying, Ronnie, is really what the next thought is now, is okay. And I did that right away. All right, now that that's over, you exhale, and you go, all right, well, you know, what's next? You know, is it Sewell? Do you get the tackle, another tackle? You know, do you go for Chase Waddle or Smith, you know, one of the wide receivers? You know, do you look for stuff like that to just add more skill, more talent? Do you trade out of the two because you know people are going to want Fields or Wilson? Do you just go ahead and say, okay, well, now the number two pick is up for grabs. We'll move back. We'll collect a bunch of picks and just now continue to fill the holes and hope that Sam is the answer that we all thought he would have been 3 years ago when he fell into their laps in the draft. So is that the case? That, of course, has to be your next thought. That has to be the way to go. Of course. Now you've got to build the franchise and you've got to find ways to get more assets, more picks. But I'm sorry. When you have somebody that everybody says is a generational quarterback, and I'm talking about experts who watch this game closely, generational quarterback, and you watch him in college, and he's a dominant player in college and a winner, it's hard to say it's okay, it's better this way. No, it ain't. Because everything starts with the quarterback. Everything. Jay in Newburgh. Come on, Jay.
Hey, Han. Not a good day today for us Jet fans. This is unfortunately, it's a par for the course, man, when it comes to the Jets and to a lesser extent the Knicks. A huge fan of both. And, unfortunately, I've kind of gotten used to the bad news when it comes to these guys. So I'm not
right.
Overly surprised.
Exactly.
You know, I'm disappointed, but I'm not overly
surprised. You're numb.
Surprised.
Jay, you're numb. That's what it is. You're so numb to it now because you're used to, you just knew this wouldn't work. Like Saturday when I'm tweeting about Trevor Lawrence, some responses Jets fans were giving me were, you know we're going to blow it, right? You know we're not getting him, right? You know it's just not going to happen for us, right? Because he's just too good. There's no way this is going to work out. And it's not even a day later. Not even a day later, it's already gone. It evaporates. Gone. So, yeah, Jay, I think where you are is where a lot of fans are. And thanks for the call, my man. It's you're numb. You're just numb. And I'm telling you, I learned a lot. I really did. I've learned a lot. Because I don't have that same switch with the Knicks because I cover them and because I put so much energy into coverage and understanding and all that stuff that I can't see it like a fan. So when I hear from fans who get frustrated about stuff and I don't feel it because I can't relate to that. But then I was going through this with the Jets over the last 24 hours. I'm like, I get it now. I understand why late in the season, a young player, plays well and they win a game that's kind of meaningless and it costs you an opportunity in the draft or to move up or something. Like, I get it. Now I understand. When I used to get so mad at some Knicks fans about that. Why do you want to see your team lose? Now I get it. Now I understand. Kevin, North Carolina. Kevin.
Hon, man. I'm so frustrated with this win. I feel like it's a domino effect of mediocrity. No, if you would have added a guy like Trevor Lawrence, you had, I don't know how legit this rumor was, but you had a guy like Bill Cowher in the mix.
You were going to have a lot of people like him with his resume wanting the job. Absolutely.
Yeah,
true.
And now when he's gone, I feel like this might be the worst coach opening that we have now. Went from the best to the worst in my mind. I don't know where we go from here. It's just so frustrating.
I think you're right. I do. I think you're right because you have other places that already have a quarterback in mind. You're going to tell me the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson is not a more favorable job? Like that. There's other jobs. Atlanta has a quarterback already in place. That's not more favorable. They've got pieces. They've got weapons. Like that's a more favorable job. So you're in a tough place now, where you probably won't get the best guy available. You've got to get the best guy for you. That's who you got to get. Jason and Garfield. Jason.
Yo, hi, man. Hi, what's going on, man? I'm just upset, frustrated, sick, disgusted, all of the above. Like when you were tweeting Saturday, you felt like, I knew it. I kind of thought it was going to be week 17, the Belichickian. But, like, he just felt it. Like, being a Jet fan for 10-plus, 20-plus years, you just felt they were going to find a way to ruin it. You just felt it. And we're missing Bart this morning, too.
Yeah, Bart, yeah, it's funny. I was texting Bart yesterday just about that. Even he could feel it. Like, and he's a player. But even he was like, you knew the guys were going to compete. You knew. Like, he was more mad at the Rams for not showing up. Like, they took him too lightly. Like, he was all about the Rams. The Rams showing you something like, I can't trust the Rams now as a contender.
They're on the fix. Like you tweeted yesterday, they're in on the fix, too. They're all in on it.
Yeah.
They're
oh, my God, dude. I'll tell you right now. If there was a conspiracy, I'm always about the conspiracy. I'm about that. I'm about that where somehow, some way, the Rams are like, we're laying down for this one. You know, McVay is tight with Gase. He didn't want Gase to go out that way. We don't really need the win, so to hell with them. Like, come on, man. Like, there's some, dude, like, it's the Rams, and you are trying to win that damn division. And you came out like that? What the hell's wrong with you? Like, what kind of, that defense is the best in the league, and you look like that? I mean, Aaron Donald, did you show up? Were you here? Because I didn't see you. And normally, you're jumping off the screen. Adam and Yonkers, Adam.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Not good.
I just got to vent a little bit. The Becton quote really, really, really irritated me. I understand a player is never going to say, I'm playing to lose. But he could have said, listen, I understand the fans. I understand their frustration. But I'm going to continue to play hard. Instead, he went the other way and offended 95% of the fan base who was rooting for the Jets to lose yesterday and basically said we're all not really a fan. I've been a fan for 30 years.
Yep.
I've been suffering. He's been here 6 months or close to a year, and he's telling me that I'm not a true fan because I'm rooting for them to lose.
Yeah, I wouldn't
just
hold it
really
against
him. It really rubbed me the wrong way.
I'm with you, Adam. When I heard it too, I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, dude, too many fans love you for you to say something like this. But he's also a young guy. So he doesn't really understand it. See, again, if you were somebody that has been around the team for a long time, you'd have a better perspective. He comes out of college. He comes right here. It's not something that he understands. Like, he doesn't know the whole Jet thing. He doesn't get it. So I'm not going to hold it against him. But you're right. The choice of words was certainly not the best. There's no doubt about it. But there's nothing to say. There's nothing you can say. The minute Adam Gase stepped to the podium, I'm like, I'm out. I'm out. I always watch my guy Bart on SNY in the postgame show. Clicked it off. No interest. I'm sorry. I'm not interested. I don't want to listen to you. It was like when Newsday sent, when I was at Pittsburgh, I was in Pittsburgh for Jets Steelers in the divisional game in 03, and Doug Bryan missed those kicks, and my, I can't remember which editor it was, I'd name him if I knew, remember, said to me, all right, what's my story? Because I had to do the sidebar. And my story was, oh, you're going to do the kicker. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you want me to stand in front of Doug Bryan and not strangle him after missing those kicks? Like, and I got to just sit there and write that. I got to write a story about this. Yeah, that took every bit, every ounce of energy I had to just stay calm and not want to be like, what do you mean what do you mean the wind? Like, what is that? That was a tough place to be. So that's why, like, it's hard to understand unless you've lived it. And Mekhi hasn't. And that's why I said what I said. All right, Mekhi, in 3 or 4 years from now, remember that quote about how, you know, rooting for losing doesn't make you a good fan. Really? Well, in 5 years, if the team hasn't gotten better, and now you want to go somewhere else because they're not winning here, remember why. Why, at one point, losing was the right way to go. I hate that I'm saying it, but that's the way the league is set up. That's the way the draft is set up. And until it changes, that's the mentality you have. You know that scene where he just is at the bottom of the pool? That's where we are right now. Left its seeds while I was sleeping. Just bottom of the pool. And the vision that was there's no other way to explain it. I feel like Lucy Charlie Brown, Lucy pulling the football away, that's how you feel every time when there's just that little bit of hope. Every time there's a little bit of hope. And I don't know, is this the curse of Marino? It's the curse of something. There's a lot of cursing, but I can't explain it, and I wish I could, and I've told you guys. From a Knicks perspective, this used to bother me with fans, and this weekend, after watching Trevor on Saturday and being like, okay, like, damn, like, this dude's the goods, and then 24 hours later being like, and he's not going to be a Jet. Then I said, you know, now I know. And I put up a poll on Twitter and also IG asking that question, like, what hurt more, knowing that you won to lose Trevor or losing the lottery after having the worst record in the league and not getting Zion? Like, which one stings more? Because both of them, of course, the second it happens, all you got to see is every meme possible and every media outlet having fun with the fan base forever having hope. It's just, seriously, it's the rolled up newspaper and the beaten down puppy. That's what we are. We flinch now. You're afraid to actually ever feel like something good can happen because you know the minute you are happy about hope, you get swatted with the newspaper. It's like, you know, the sport that refuses to love you back. 800-919-3776. This portion of the show is driven by your local Lexus dealer. Lexus ES now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See a Lexus dealer. Bart's off this week, in case you're wondering why you're not hearing his voice. And, like, just seeing his reaction just facially. You know, he had to say what he's going to say on the postgame show on SNY. But it's just seeing his face. You could just see that look on his face. He just had that look. But he even felt it, like, man, really? Like, really? Like, this is that you're going to win now. Like, this is where you'll get that win now. Like, you saw he had that same look on his face, and I was glad he had that look. But let's get some more calls here. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Charlie in Allendale. Come on, Charlie.
No, I just wanted to say that this is why you fire the head coach. He's coaching the game yesterday, like he's coaching the Super Bowl. You know, you don't need to kick field goals. An interim coach, you know, a little bit, you know, let's go for it. You know, let's not give Frank Gore the game of his career. Like, everything's on the line.
Yeah, that's good for the future that Frank Gore was getting big plays. Yeah.
This is why you fire the coach, so the interim coach doesn't feel the pressure to have to win a game. Like, this guy feels like he has to win this game.
Oh, he was coaching a win for the last 14 weeks, and he couldn't do it. You know what I mean? So I felt like he was right where he should be. I don't like that he and McVay are so chummy. Like, that's what I don't like that. Like, that's the stuff. To me, I always go to conspiracy. That's the stuff that bothers me. Like, he and McVay are chummy. They had a conversation late, at, you know, one night during the week, and he's like, oh, your team's a lot better than the rest. Like, oh, stop. You think I want to hear that right now, that you and the opposing coach were chatting about how good your team's playing despite not winning a damn game, and then you upset them, and they don't play well at all. They look terrible. Like, I don't want to hear that. So you're right. And Charlie, and you know, and thanks for the call, Charlie. And that's what I also felt, too. Now there's no reason to keep him around. No reason. You know you're not keeping him at the end of the season, so you might as well just move on. So, it's all that stuff, all of it. There's so much to this that bothers me, I can't even begin. But thanks again for the call, Charlie. I appreciate it. Let's move on to Mo in the car. What's up, Mo?
Hey, Alan. Thank you again for taking my call. But I hope you're right. I'm calling because I'm fearful now the Jets might go on and win the next two games. And Christopher Johnson, just to save face, might bring Adam Gase back.
No, you can't.
Then I don't know what I'll do as a Jets fan.
Yeah, they got the Browns. They got the Browns, and the Browns are still playing for some stuff. You got the I know. See, week 17 now with the Patriots.
It's fearful. And I'm raising my kids. I've been a Jets fan for 35 years. And my kids are asking me, why are you suffering, Dad? You could watch other teams. You know, I had a great weekend Friday night watching the Knicks. I was hopeful Saturday, and then this happened yesterday, and then my buddy put in the bug in my ear that Gase might come back next year.
No.
I don't know what to do right now.
You can't. You absolutely, Mo, and thanks for the call. There's no scenario that you could justify bringing this coach back. None. Not one scenario. Not a single one. Nothing. There's no way at all that Christopher Johnson or Woody Johnson could ever justify bringing this coach back. It makes no sense. None. And if he does, you talk about losing a fan base, you definitely would. Pierre in Putnam. Pierre.
Johan, I appreciate you so much for taking my call today, because as a Jet fan, this may be one of the darkest periods in my 35 years as a Jet fan. Just like you, I watched Trevor Lawrence on Saturday. I've been on the wagon. I've been sad, angry, but the final word I have is resolution. It's never going to change, hon. I thought the law of averages said it would eventually go my way with the Jets. The reality is I'm 42. My son is 12. This is it. It's misery. And we got to accept it. We got to deal with it. And I'm riding it out, but it is what it is. You'll never hear optimism again, hon. Never.
It's amazing. Pierre,
never again.
And Pierre, you know what? Yeah. The most amazing thing about your call, and I love the passion, the most amazing thing is this is the day after a win. Like, when we look back, like, they'll play all these phone calls. There'll be a promo, and some of you will be in this promo, and your voices will be heard on a promo about the Jets season and a look back on the Jets season. And some of you, these calls today, will be on that promo. And the funny thing is that in the future, we'll go back and play that promo and be like, oh, man, listen to those callers. And it's like, yeah, that's after a win. After a win. Pat in Yorktown. What do you got, Pat?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, I can't even listen to this anymore. I'm 70 years old. I've been a Jet fan forever. The idea is to win the game. Now, what guarantee do you have that Trevor Lawrence is the next coming? You don't. You have a good... If you bring Trevor Lawrence to this team, who's going to block for him? Who's going to catch the ball? Who's going to run the ball? Who's going to play defense?
Ty Johnson.
These guys are so off base. It's ridiculous.
Pat, I just answered every one of your questions, though, Pat. I answered
every... No, you didn't.
I absolutely did. You didn't hear me. You asked me who's going to do this, and I told you each one when you said who's going to catch the ball, who's going to run the ball, who's going to block. I gave you answers. I already did. In the end, the quarterback matters most in this sport. 100% true. When you have that, then you can build. But until you have that, you have a gigantic hole in your roster. And I don't, you just said, if Lawrence isn't a guarantee, neither is Sam. And God bless Sam. Because this ain't about him personally. We loved it when they got him. But hey, he has not gotten better. And I don't know if I believe enough in him to say, I'll just go forward with him. I don't need Trevor. Oh, no. Trevor was a guy that all the experts, all of them, every single one. This guy's a generational talent. You watch what he does in college. All he does is win and dominate. I'm sorry, I'll take my chance. If you say there's no guarantee, that's a, I'll take my chances on somebody who comes out of college who looks like that with a resume of 3 years. This is not like you're taking a gamble on a one-and-done player. You're not taking a gamble on a 19-year-old coming out of high school. This is a guy that's 3 years in college, and all he does is win. Think I'll take my chances on that one. You got to understand. Don't give me the Herm Edwards, we play to win the game stuff. I understand that part from the player side. This is not a player reaction show right now. This is a fan reaction show. And there's a lot of them out there who feel just like this. And we've got to understand why. Josh in New Jersey. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, what's going on? Regarding that caller, I mean, Trevor, he's a generational talent. Generational talent.
Yes.
You're talking the likes of Tom Brady. Tom Brady never had any freaking receivers to throw to, and he went to the Super Bowl all the time.
Right.
It doesn't matter about your receivers. They have a decent offensive line, and they're going to get better. I mean, the Jets make the Knicks look fantastic. The Knicks have hope now. Yes, they don't have that star player, but they got a young core. They got a good coach. They're doing things the right way. When have the Jets ever done anything the right way? Bill Parcells was the last time. That's it. Done. Finished.
They have got to find. They have. You know what it is, and Josh, what happens now? And thank you for the call, and appreciate your passion. What they have to do now is now make sure whoever they hire as coach, it's a home run. Like, you've really got to make sure you get a coach where everybody, including free agents, because there's the next frontier. You've got a lot of money to spend. And if you got a guy like Trevor Lawrence, you see, again, for those who don't get this, you got to understand there's a real thing called momentum, and there's no analytics for it, but it's a real thing. It's sort of that feeling like something good's going on there. They got this guy. Like, they're going to draft that guy. I'm a free agent. I'm a wide receiver free agent. I'm like if I'm Smith-Schuster or whoever, I'm going, well, they're about to get that dude, and he's the truth. My guy's old. They're about to get this guy. I'm going to sign with that team because that dude can throw. That guy's got a cannon. Like, there's something good happening there. You hire a coach because the coach says, oh, they got the number one pick. They're getting that guy. I'm going there because I'm going to have I never have to worry about quarterback now, because every coach who takes a job, you never want to worry about that position. And if you know I got somebody locked in for 10 years, then I'm taking that job. So you want to do that. So that's what I mean about momentum. Momentum is so important. You don't want to talk about a meaningless win against a Rams team that didn't show up. Didn't show up. And you want to talk about that as, well, that's important too. Minuscule. Minute. Compared to the momentum that once the season's over and the filth of 0-16 is washed off you, what you have ahead of you is a spring meadow and a blue sky. And everybody wants to be part of that. Let's discuss the other team here in New York as the Giants take a 20-6 loss to the Browns, and they fall to 5-9. Now, Washington loses as well. So you think, all right, well, they're still there. It's still a game, but you know, they're obviously their chances. I mean, they win this game, and their chance to win the division suddenly leap very high, and then they have that chance. And you got that Dallas game at the end of the season. Look, next week, they're playing Baltimore down in Baltimore. Baltimore's playing as well as anybody in the league right now. I mean, they've really all of a sudden have got it figured out offensively, and they're putting up a ton of points. And so to feel like, that, you know, as we looked at the schedule and you felt, what are the games the Giants can get? You thought Arizona. You didn't know about Seattle, but they get that Seattle game, and you're thinking, all right, well, there's a steal. But then the Arizona game's a letdown. You got the injury with Daniel Jones. And so without him, Colt McCoy was okay, but you want better than okay, and you needed better than okay. And I got to, you know, some of the throws, there were some catchable balls. But they were defended well. The Browns are good. You can't overlook that. The Browns are a good team. They got to their 10th win, and that's a good team. But this was a game early on where you wondered, you know, Joe Judge and company, and Freddie Kitchens, who's running the offense, because Jason Garrett had COVID, so he's away from the team. And with Freddie Kitchens running the offense, but Joe Judge also there, you know, Joe Judge is the guy that keeps an eye on special teams, right? That's a little bit of his background. Twice they could have just kicked field goals. They didn't. They go for it on fourth down, and they fail on both. And that's, you know, there's your ball game early on. Like, you had a chance to keep it competitive, didn't. And, you know, you only gave up 20 to an offense that, especially their running game. I mean, that's a dominant running game, and they really weren't as dominant as they have been. I mean, Nick Chubb ran for 50. Yeah, that's it. Kareem Hunt, it's 21 yards. So it wasn't that, but Baker Mayfield almost threw it for 300 yards. They didn't really lay a finger on him at all, and that was your game. The game really turned in that second quarter, and that's, you know, that was pretty much it at that point. But kind of still in it. But the question, of course, is does this show you just how important a healthy Daniel Jones is? Because when he can't run, that's a major dimension of his game that changes everything. We saw that last week. But now with the ankle, the hamstring, you're just not getting really the full effect of having him under center and all the things that he can do. And plus the arm. So they are where they are right now. In a weird way, you know, it's like you don't win the division, but maybe you'll get a top 10 pick and you just keep building your franchise. But it does, like, I think I have to stay true to it, because a couple of weeks ago I said, you know, no matter what happens, after the Seattle game, I said, no matter what happens from here on out, you feel like Gettleman is still in the midst of his rebuild, and you feel like they're heading in the right direction. I gotta say, I still feel that way. I do. I still feel that way. No matter what happens, if you don't win the division, you get a top 10 pick, you have some draft picks, you do have a chance to continue to build on what you have. You can continue to get better. It's not a bad team, and they're well coached. They have a talent deficiency, and they've got to make up for it. And they also have some decisions to make with some players. They got to pay some guys. So it's not going to be easy, but at least you feel like, despite how difficult it was to watch that game, you have to admit, it kind of went the way you expected. The Browns are a good team. I feel like the loss to the Cardinals was the one that bothered me. This one I felt like, okay, they were going forward a little early on, tried to get tricky, and it didn't work out. The running game that had been so good of late has really disappeared now the last couple of games. And how much of that, again, is the Daniel Jones effect? Not having him as a threat to run changes everything in the way you can defend them. Because you're just not getting the same guy. I mean, Gallman only ran for 29 yards. So I just think Daniel Jones, it might have given you a little picture of just how important he is when he's healthy to this offense. And that's where we go going forward. So you finish out the season. You've got two more games. Dallas in week 17 at home. And they still have a chance. I mean, can you get to 7-9? I doubt they beat Baltimore. So you're looking at a 6-10 record, which some people thought would have been good enough to win the division. Now it won't be. And 6-10 doesn't look pretty. But it's how they got to 6-10. Were they trending up at the right time before the injury hit Daniel Jones? You get a healthy Daniel Jones. You get Saquon Barkley. You have more draft picks. You have the chance to get better. I do think there's value in that. No question about it. This show goes by so fast. We always talk about it. Because there's a lot of other stuff we love to talk about. And that includes the finale of season 2 of The Mandalorian. Which, I'm sorry, that was part of my weekend viewing. And the amount of people that talked about it made me feel like, when is the proper time to actually discuss? So at some point in this show, I got to carve out a little time. We got lunch money at the end. We got audio files. We want to keep going with the calls. We got Rex Ryan coming up next. At some point today, if not, maybe tomorrow. Because some people told me the statute of limitations is really, you got to wait till Tuesday. And once you hit Tuesday, it's like, all right, people have had enough time to watch it. Some of the stuff's already out on the internet discussing a few of the mind-blowing things that happen in it. So if I don't get to it today, got to get to it tomorrow. Because that is one of those television moments where you will never forget how you felt when one thing that happened in that show happened. And I got to be honest with you. I have a major criticism of something that happened in a previous episode that I did not want to happen. And it did, and it bothered me. And it made something in the finale, it made it less effective, in my opinion. And if I had a chance to talk to Jon Favreau about it, I would ask him why he chose to do this. So there's a lot to get to on that. And I know it's not sports related, but I need something to feel good about after what happened with the Jets yesterday. A lot from Rex Ryan, who was terrific, as you would expect, about on the Jets' perspective. And is he not pounding home a message here about whoever they hire as coach? I know some people might be thinking he's self-promoting. I don't think he's doing that. I think what he's doing is using his own experience and saying, don't make the same mistake. Don't just bring in a quarterback whisperer guy. You've got to have a front man for this franchise. He's just imploring the Johnsons. Get a front man. Don't go for the tricky, cute play. Go for somebody that can stand at the podium and represent this franchise and be a leader of men. He's from his own experience, he understands how important that is for this job. It's a tough job. He pointed that out. And oh, by the way, if you've got friends in Philly, you might want to pass along what he said he's heard about Carson Wentz behind the scenes, how he's become a bit of a know-it-all, not really taking to coaching too well. And maybe that's part of his issues and why Jalen Hurts has suddenly become the favorite around there. Although Doug Peterson's having a hard time making that commitment. We'll see. He should be talking to the media pretty soon, and we'll see if maybe he even goes to that point and discusses whether or not who's going to be his quarterback going forward for the rest of the season. And again, who knows after the season what it means, as Wentz has that guarantee for two more years. Not going to be easy to move. All right, so a lot to get to, a lot to unpack. And before we get back to calls, let's do as much as we can around the league in audio files.
The audio file.
All right, let's begin where we ended up, though, with Rex Ryan. And that's about Bill Belichick and the Patriots and Cam Newton, of course. And the Patriots losing, which now means the best they can do is 8-8. They play the Jets in Week 17. That'll be interesting. But they also will not make the playoffs for the first time in 13 years. Not have a winning record for the first time in 20. Absolutely amazing. But for Bill, it's all about making the playoffs. And for the first time in over a decade, he hasn't. And, of course, he had a classic Bill Belichick reaction.
Disappointed, but we didn't deserve to win today, so.
I know it's hard to maybe look ahead already, but does it change your message at all with your players that the playoffs are officially off the table?
No, not too much.
Not too much. Really? It does. But Week 17, if the Jets, the whole feeling was if the Jets were going to be, well, going into that game 0-15, you get that feeling that he would have found a way to make sure he threw a wrench into it. But instead, the Rams did it for him. All right, I'll get off that, I promise. Had one day. You got to give me one day to be frustrated about it. And then, of course, as we're lamenting winning, Jamal Adams, as the Seattle Seahawks get their win in easy fashion. And now they are on their way to the playoffs, which for them, I mean, this is 10 of the last 12 years. For Seattle, it's like, yeah, this is what we do. But for Jamal Adams, of course, this is a whole new thing for him, and he made sure to lay it on thick. Take a listen.
Oh, yeah. That's a hell of a feeling, man. I'm sorry. I'm not used to this, guys. Forgive me. I know you guys are used to, you know, Seattle, you know, always going to the playoffs. I'm not used to this. I'm used to sending my cars home by this time. And, you know, hey, I'm already packing up, learning where I'm going next. Where's the vacation? When am I seeing family? Sorry to cut you off, brother. I'm just excited, man.
I'm just slightly fired up, right? Slightly fired up. But he sounds like a guy that escaped prison. Which would be the Jets. He got what he wanted, and now he's on a winning team and a playoff team, and now we'll see if their defense with him is good enough to do anything in the postseason. Meanwhile, the Giants lose, and again, to the Browns last night, and you feel like, again, it's the expectation. The Browns have been playing so well this year, and the Giants, without Daniel Jones, their defense held up for the most part. Didn't really get a finger on the quarterback too much. And so Baker Mayfield had a fairly easy day. They did stop the run, but they did not stop the pass. And they only gave up 20. But the problem is they only scored 6. And early on, Joe Judge and Freddie Kitchens, who was running the offense, because, again, no Jason Garrett due to COVID, they decided on fourth down twice early in the game to go for it instead of kick for the points. Both times failed. And that kept them off the scoreboard, which was enough to let this game kind of get away from them a little bit. It wouldn't have made a big difference in the end if you think about it when you look at the final score. But still, the aggressive nature for Joe Judge, is it something he regrets? He says no.
Yeah, field goals weren't going to win this game. So look, I'm not afraid to call things aggressively. I'm not afraid if I think we have a good scheme in a kicking game to call a fake. I'm not afraid to run the ball in fourth and one. and we'll play to our defense at times. If we don't get that, we've got to go out there and stand up defense. Our defense has done that consistently throughout the year. We're going to play the strengths of our team. But look, I'm not afraid to call it aggressively. We went into this game with that mindset. So we've got to do a better job making sure we coach it the right way, execute it the right way, and come out with the results we want. But that being said, we're going to call this thing aggressively, and we're going to play it aggressively. And when you make calls like that, you let your players understand that you have confidence in them and that they can play the game aggressively. We have confidence in our players. I want them to go out and play aggressively. I can't tell them all week, but they have to go into this game with an aggressive mindset and then hold them back at some point where we feel we have a chance to make a play.
I got to be honest with you. I really do. Like, when I listen to him talk, when I see him in his post game, he's a guy that speaks with conviction. He doesn't sound like he's got any hesitation whatsoever. Believes in what he decides to do and doesn't apologize for it. And I got to respect it. But how do you feel as a Giants fan about that? What he said is true. Three field goals weren't going to win this damn game. Like, we had to get aggressive early. And he was trying to send that message to his team, was we're going for it. It just didn't work out. All right, we got to coach it better. We got to be better, is what he said in the end. But how did you feel about that, Giants fans? Were you screaming at the TV? Why aren't you kicking? Get the points. You always take the points. Or did you kind of feel the same way? Man, field goals ain't getting this done. We're close enough. Let's go for it. Because those red zone misses there late, I mean early in the game, those red zone misses were huge early. But in the end, as the final score would have showed you, it wouldn't have made a difference. Or would it? So I want to hear from you. 800-919-3776. All right. Last but not least, as we look at college football, and we were watching on Friday, Saturday, a lot of important games, Friday night as well, and you saw Alabama win the SEC, you saw Clemson win the ACC, Ohio State won the Big Ten in what was kind of a created game for them, and Texas A&M did what they had to do. And Notre Dame was the one team in the top four that lost, and they lost in the championship game and lost bigly. And I remember all the Irish fans calling on Friday, coming after Bart about how dare you. Clemson winning by 10. Well, how'd that go? Was Bart right or was he not wrong? I didn't hear from anybody today on that. But meanwhile, so they release the four teams that will be in the college football championship. And there's no change. So you have Alabama at number one, Clemson at number two, Ohio State, who are 6-0, just six games, number three, and Notre Dame stays, and they are fourth. Out of the picture, Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, not happy. Take a listen.
We're playing the best league in ball. We got beat by the number one team in the country, who also had another superstar on the team when they played us, named Waddle. People ain't even playing with him now. No team in SEC history has never lost but one game and been in it. The other leagues, I love them all. If we can't play in this league and be in the playoff, something's wrong.
Instead, they'll play in the Orange Bowl, the Capital One Orange Bowl, which will be on ESPN, January 2nd. And they'll play North Carolina instead of playing for a championship. And is it fair? Is that the right call? Did they deserve? Like, and I think what he was saying is that Ohio State only played six damn games in a conference where not everybody played, where Michigan was bailing out left and right on teams. Our conference, everybody played. We had to show up. We played a tough schedule. And we lost to the number one team in the country, and that's it. And so you can understand his frustration, right? That's why you wonder, will they ever get to a point where they'll expand somehow? Can they possibly try to expand the playoffs? We argue this all the time. But in the end, what does college football get? They get exactly what they wanted. They got the name brands. They got the quote-unquote big market franchises. Alabama, Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, Ohio State, Notre Dame. I mean, it's TV ratings. Every single one of those teams is going to get you ratings. You can say, well, Texas A&M would get you ratings too. Who would you take out that they would get better ratings than? Like, do you know Texas A&M like you know Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame? No, you don't. So for college football, this is the way to go. But the system itself is certainly not one that is fair to teams that actually are competing and actually had to play a full schedule, unlike Ohio State, which there were favors done. They were literally pushed into the top four. Did they deserve it? 800-919-3776. All right, that's Audio Files. Anthony, great job as always. Let's grab a few more calls here. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Scotty in the car on the Giants. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So you made a comment about how we feel about the not going for the point. And you know, I felt like we should have went for the three. I just thought that at one point it could have been 13-9, and that might have changed the confidence of the players, and maybe we would have gotten just a little more aggressive play, and maybe it would have made them feel more of an opportunity to win. So I just felt
like you're in it.
Never leave the points on the field.
Yeah, that's the one way to look at it too. Is it's almost like the emotional impact of seeing nine instead of seeing three, right? Like I think there is something to be said about that. But I'm not. I don't. You know, his feeling was that 3 points were not going to get us a win. That we had to go for it. We had to test it. We had to execute. It didn't happen. But you think about, all right, but what do we have? We have Colt McCoy, our backup. You know, we're sort of missing our strength on offense. You've taken away half the playbook. So that's a question of, but I trust this coach. I trust Joe Judge. There's nothing about him that makes me feel like this guy is out of control, doesn't know what he's doing, he's over his head. None of that. He has a reason for everything. He has conviction in when he delivers his explanations, his excuses, his reasoning. And so I get where he's coming from when he explains why. But there is that part of you that wonders, would the game feel different if the score was closer because they kicked those field goals? Let's take Dante's in Hillside. Been on a bit. Hey, Dante.
Hey, what's up, Han? Listen, hey, man. I speak for 90% of the fans. You can hear it in my voice, man. This is sickening for Jet fans, bro. Like, the thing that a lot of fans don't understand is saying, well, why don't you want to win? You should want to win. We want to win in September. We don't want to win when you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Thank you.
You're now playing for your offseason. So if there was no generational quarterback in this draft, okay, cool. If it's a corner or whatever, cool. This is a quarterback that can potentially change your franchise. He's going to sell it out, like Rex said. He's going to sell a building out. So now you're at the second pick. So not only do you lose out on Trevor Lawrence, you probably lost out on your coaching candidate, and you might lose out on free agents. That's what these fans are understanding. So
Dante,
Jet fans that can say that you're a real fan if you can actually root for Jacksonville and root for your team to lose because you know what's at stake. That's what fans are understanding. That's why we're rooting for them to lose. Any other time, we wouldn't do this. So, Becton, Mekhi, I get what you're saying. As a player, you want to win, but we want to see the best athletes and the best product on the field, and we can't see that because we just won a meaningless game out of conference. It makes no sense, man. Makes no sense.
I think the diehard fans are the ones that understand this, and that's why when people say, well, you're not a real fan if you want to see your team lose, and it's like, no, you don't get it. It's not about wanting to see my team lose. It's understanding why losing right now is of the greatest importance. That's why. Like, you have to understand, like, it's that choice you make, the sacrifice now for the reward later. That's what it's about. And I'm telling you, I'm being completely honest. I never quite understood this. And I had a hard time of it with Knicks fans for many years. And everybody knows that. You can check my history. I would fight with you about that stuff. Look, these guys aren't going to lose on purpose. They don't want to lose. They have pride, blah, blah, blah. That's a reporter. That's somebody that was in locker rooms talking to players. And I had that mentality. I understood it. But after this weekend, I'm telling you, after this weekend, that's what got me. That absolutely is what got me, and I said, "Oh my God, I get it now. This is what the Knicks fans were wanting, and this is what now I understand because of how sick I felt of being upset about them winning. It's just as dumb." And I said a couple of weeks ago, "What a terrible place we're in that we can't enjoy." Like when they lost to the Raiders the way they did, and it's like this sick feeling you have. I hate the fact that I can't enjoy seeing them succeed. I can't. But you understand, the bigger prize comes later. And maybe I'll get a chance to talk to Mekhi, hopefully tomorrow, if he's our Jets guest, and I'll discuss it with him. Because I don't think, you know, again, a player doesn't understand that stuff. He doesn't understand the thinking. But you got to understand the history behind it. And once you do, it'll make a lot more sense. Hey, some breaking news, by the way, from Jeff Passan.
Can't wait.
And if you're a Yankees fan, you're not going to like this. The Blue Jays have emerged as a significant player in the DJ LeMahieu sweepstakes. What the hell is going on in the Bronx? As if my day couldn't get any better.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, I'm one game under 500 now, which is, again, break even's what I want. And as we head to the end of the season, I'm ready already to break evens. That's pretty good. It's a good comeback by me after a rough start. So that's the good news. That's the positive. Bart, yeah, he's over 500, but, you know, I'm not going to. So tonight, Monday night, this is you always watch because it's entertaining and all the blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, this is not great. I mean, Steelers at the Bengals and no Joe Burrow. Now, if there was Joe Burrow, you're watching, right? But no Joe Burrow and the Bengals is not very good. Steelers are laying 14 in this game. They're favored by 14 in this game, even though they're on the road. But they're, you know, they are what they are. The Steelers got to get right, though. We know that. They got to get right. And this could be a get-right game for them because they just have not been the same the last couple of weeks, haven't looked good. So this is going to be a game. It's interesting from a Steeler perspective. Like, I want to see if Mike Tomlin is still grumbly after the game or if he's feeling better about his team. Over-under is 40.5, not expecting a lot of offense, I guess, from the Bengals. But still, so it's Steelers minus 14. And, I mean, I think you go with the Steelers here, right? I'm not picking it officially, though. Anthony, this is not going on my record. Not picking it. Just throwing it out there. Meanwhile, we'll put a fantasy team together, a little DFS, and we will go with Ben Roethlisberger, of course, as our MVP. And this one, we got Claypool, Bernard, who's probably going to get a lot of action in this game, Higgins as well, and then Johnson at the end. So that's our lineup for tonight, fitting into, of course, what we can fit budget wise. So I wanted to, you know what? I got to finish with this one thought. And it's from John on Twitter. And I got to say that this thought to me is sort of the way to sum it up. He said, "Hey, Han, I understand, but in no way, shape, or form do I want my Jets to throw games. If they lost, fine, but I'm not rooting for my team to lose. That being said, people can look at this any way they like. But everything happens for a reason. The season ain't over." And then he adds, "Jet up." And I guess you could say that anything can still happen. And perhaps in some way, maybe the Colts look at week 17 like, we don't need this. And, you know, they don't even try. They keep their, you know, they want to stay healthy. Who knows? And maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars do something crazy, like actually win a game. Maybe. But you can't now rely on somebody else when you reach a week 17 to do something like that. You can't. It's the most helpless feeling, like I said at the start of the show. It's just a helpless feeling, no matter who you're a fan of, your team, and you feel like, I don't want to see losing, but the bigger prize right now would be that. So all we can do now is say, okay, move forward. Joe Douglas, you're on the clock. What do you do if you have that number two pick? Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. Maybe you do, you know, Penei Sewell. Do you go with one of the wide receivers? Do you trade back and collect more draft picks? Yes, there's a lot more options. But the one option that remains would be Sam Darnold, the guy that did fall in your laps a couple of years ago. Maybe he really is the chosen one. Everybody have a great night and great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.